United Kingdom. This is the cutting-edge program of truth. Mr. and Mrs. America, that's me, Lou Caverly.
And me, Elizabeth Cupid Caverly.
We're defending Christian witness and values, praying for all of you listeners. Together, our voices rise to Almighty God, pleading for mercy and more time for America to repent. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Hear our recent important programs in our listening archives, Threats from China, covered in our March programs, and on April 3rd, our analysis of the destruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Tonight, we're coming to you live, Wednesday, April 24th on Global Star. Tomorrow night, April 25th, you'll hear us at WWCR.com at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, also on their shortwave, 4.840 megahertz. That program repeats on Saturday morning, 8 a.m., on 7.490 megahertz. Now, we go right into the awful April activities of the Luciferian reprobate mind.
And Lou, this is from the Gateway Pundit, and this was April 13th with Jim Hoft. And you know, this article, friends, is a very significant update on the World Health Organization's proposed pandemic treaty that's global in nature, if you haven't heard about it. And this is possibly the biggest threat we can imagine to our own individual lives, our own individual families, our own individual freedom. So pay careful attention to this issue that, if brought to America, could end your freedom and make forced pandemic vaccine injections legal. We have heard Ann Vandersteel, and she is a radio commentator on the Bradyon Network, and she explained on Dr. Jane Ruby's show some time back that one of these executive order type deals, it was the Defense Authorization Act under Biden, can bypass Congress to put this global treaty into place. And we would be under the jurisdiction not of America anymore, but under the WHO, the World Health Organization. We know that there was another kind of a Defense Authorization Act put in by Obama. All these presidents do these secretive kinds of executive order type deals, and then we are going to pay someday if martial law is declared. So we will have to watch this carefully, won't we, Lou?
We most certainly will.
We will, because this is coming up into being in May. That's when the World Health Organization meets, and we will see what happens with this global treaty. We will just have to watch it and keep track of the situation all through the coming weeks. So Gateway Pundit has this headline: massive protests break out. Japan in opposition to WHO's proposed pandemic treaty. And there was a video with this. On April 13th, a significant demonstration took place in Tokyo's Ikebukuro district, drawing attention to the World Health Organization's WHO proposed pandemic treaty. The treaty, set for adoption at the WHO's General Assembly in May, has sparked controversy and fear among citizens, leading to one of the largest protests in recent Japanese history, according to Aussie 17, a former Big Pharma employee. The march began in Higashi, and I have to apologize to the Japanese. I'm going to call it Ikebukuro Central Park. I don't know how it is pronounced, where thousands of participants gathered with banners and chants expressing their opposition to the treaty and to WHO's overreach, Yahoo reported. Protesters voiced strong opposition to mandatory vaccinations and the potential infringement on Japan's sovereignty. We strongly protest against the WHO for forcing people to be vaccinated, ignoring Japan's sovereignty where vaccines are voluntary, declared one of the banners leading the march. The protest aimed to bring attention to several issues, including an increase in excess deaths and the lack of transparency regarding the adverse effects of vaccinations. The demonstrators demanded accountability and clearer information from both the Japanese government and global health authorities.
Eminent figures such as Professor Masayasu Inoue and historian Chikatsu Hayashi provided insights before the demonstration, criticizing the influence of pharmaceutical companies and private interests on global health policies. Professor Inoue warned of the dangers of genetic vaccines and highlighted the significant funding that WHO receives from entities like the Bill Gates Foundation. The WHO's pandemic treaty negotiations, which began in March 2023, aim to establish legally binding regulations to enhance global cooperation in pandemic response. According to the WHO's website, on March 30th, 2021, it announced an, quote, urgent call for an international pandemic treaty, unquote, stating that such a treaty is needed to orchestrate a single globalized response to pandemics. And, quote, 25 heads of government and international leaders, unquote, have come together in a joint call to form the treaty. The World Health Organization, alongside its 194 member countries, has been developing a global treaty to combat a hypothetical future pathogen, referred to as Disease X. According to the article, the treaty would be rooted in the Constitution, and this is in quotes, would be rooted in the Constitution of the World Health Organization, drawing in other relevant organizations key to this endeavor in support of the principle of health for all. Existing global health instruments, especially the international health regulations, and that must be a formal document because it's in capitals, the international health regulations would underpin such a treaty, ensuring a firm and tested foundation on which we can build and improve, unquote.
WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus and any of his successors would have unrestricted authority to implement WHO regulations. The treaty would provide, quote, a framework for international cooperation and solidarity, end of quote, and address issues like surveillance systems and responding to outbreaks, Ghebreyesus said when announcing the treaty during a March press conference, quote, the world cannot afford to wait until the pandemic is over to start planning for the next one, end of quote. The World Health Organization, quote, Global Pandemic Treaty, end of quote, includes a plan for a mandatory universal digital passport and ID system. Article 4 of the draft outlines the treaty's overarching, quote, principles, including, quote, universal health coverage, equity, transparency, inclusiveness, gender equality, and diversity. Also, the treaty targets, quote, misinformation and, quote, disinformation, end of quote. In July 2020, former President Donald Trump formally withdrew the United States from the World Health Organization. Immediately after taking office, Joe Biden reversed the decision and brought the U.S. back into the WHO in one of his very first acts as president. Then, in January 2022, Biden's Health and Human Service Department secretly submitted proposed amendments, strengthen WHO preparedness for and response to health emergencies. Now, I want to read that again because that is the title of Biden's proposed amendments, strengthen WHO preparedness for and response to health emergencies, to the WHO to reform international health regulations of 2005, an existing health treaty. We have to interrupt this article to comment. We often talk about Orwellian words, and we talk about hidden tyranny coming. Lou, I think this is it. What do you think? Strengthen WHO preparedness for and response to health emergencies. Now, Biden didn't say he was putting an American cabinet together to be strengthened in case of a pandemic emergency, did he?
No, this is obviously a globalist plot to seize power.
Yes, you really encapsulated that very well. Just say it again.
It's a globalist plot to seize power.
Yes, and it would be making former international health regulations from 2005 even more stringent. So this is the dark horse in the middle of the night, just the way the Federal Reserve seized our money system back in the early 1900s. This is it. This is it. So if you are alive and breathing, and you're an American, or you're a person in another country hearing this warning, you'd better get off your duff. You'd better get in touch with your legislators. You'd better do something. You'd better pray as you have never prayed before. We think this is probably one of the biggest issues we can ever cover. Yes, the bridge was important. And I saw in our local Maryland paper today, they're opening another channel, and possibly a few ships can go through. Yes, skitter, scatter, tick-tock, come and go. We'll have the saboteurs in our country. Take down this, take down that. But this thing is going to become mandatory and universal all at once, isn't it?
It is. And I think it's important to note that we had not had a major worldwide pandemic, to the best of my knowledge, for over 100 years. And now they seem to expect one any day now.
Because of their wonderful pre-planning.
That's
right. We know about it, how they were working with the COVID virus way back in the early 2000s. They've been working quite a while. We also went through some of our old news items and things that we had. And we found things that were indicating that smallpox was kept somewhere in Georgia, you know, even after it's been eradicated from the world. But it was being kept by our government in case it would be needed later. We're not too sure that monkeypox, that little thing that flared up and went nowhere, is the end of everything. We're not too sure that Ebola and Marburg and hemorrhagic fever type deals aren't waiting around the corner, because the gain of function has not been taken away. No, we didn't have Rand Paul and Senator Johnson really doing anything at all about it. But we'd better sure as heck do something about this, listeners. And Lou and I are doing this work at some sacrifice. You do know that we were once $70,000 in credit card debt because no listeners had helped us for many years. We first went on the air in the fall locally in 2003. So you can see we're now going up to 21 years of trying to warn all of you. And we do love God's people. We want to warn you. And if you can help us, it will always help us to send a little cash or a money order to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Thanks so much to Elijah. You pushed us over the top in a very important way. Thanks to Shar. Thanks to Ed and Melanie. Thanks to Tammy and Eddie. We were able to send the money to Global Star Communications. And we again thank God Almighty that one time when we were left in the lurch, we were no longer on GCN, unexpectedly to us. We thought, where will our program be produced? And that wonderful gentleman at WWCR, Rick Shelton, probably retired now, said, I know someone who can help you. And it was Todd Waite, Todd and Don Waite of Global Star Communications. They are dear Christian friends, and we can say to all of you, they are true blue. We've met some phonies. We've met some sellouts. Remember, somebody wanted to interview us, Lou, who we were getting ready to go on his program, and then he told us that 5G was harmless.
That's
remember
right.
That?
I remember that
and
well.
I said, oh, I don't think we can come on your program. And then he accosted us and said, if you don't tell the truth, you'll never get out of debt. Well, God helped us a lot. He sold an old home. We're not completely out of credit card debt. Of course not. And we have two mortgages. But God has called us to do this work, and he makes it abundantly clear that he's very happy that he helped us bring forth our book. And again, we're getting reports from you listeners that it is an eye-opening book, and you're enjoying reading each chapter. You don't have to think, oh, I have to read a whole book all at once. You can pick a chapter, and then you can think about the information. Lou and I ourselves are rereading parts because we've forgotten a lot of the important information. And it's very apropos, the second part of the book about the food facilities being destroyed and mentioning this global pandemic treaty. So if you want the book, please just write to us. Beautiful color plates in it. It will hearten us so much if some more of you listeners request the book. If you know a few people who value the truth, you can ask for as many as two or three copies, or even five if you have definite people in mind. So if you send a little bit of help to us, it would be great for the shipping and handling. If you can't, do not worry about it. For one book, we can send it out for about $5. And so do not worry. If you do not have the money, God wants you to have the book and not feel embarrassed, because you're going to do something with that book. Even if you don't give it away to anyone else, you're going to pray. You're going to read about it. You're going to pray for America to repent. And the prayers will reach Almighty God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, will be so pleased. We know that that bird that sings outside our living room window, that God has used meaningfully, sang. When I, as I've told you before, listeners, when I was, I think, done writing chapter 5, the children's horrors begin. And I said, I think this is an important chapter. Chirp, 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 chirp. God was pleased that I had stood up against the harm done to his little children, his beloved little children in the world. So please do write to Lou and ask for a book. P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Back to this article now. We're talking about Biden's new amendments that he's proposed, strengthen WHO preparedness for and response to health emergencies. The amendments delegate the international body of unelected bureaucrats more authority to define what constitutes a pandemic, when a pandemic is in progress, how long a pandemic lasts, and how to prevent, detect, and respond to future public health emergencies of international concern. Now, we have to stop and look at that part, to prevent, detect, and respond to future public health emergencies of international concern. We could be like Australia. You remember, Lou, how some people were picked up with even no symptoms and they were taken to the quarantine camps.
Well, that's the thing about this treaty. They would have the complete right to say, okay, take all those citizens of yours and stick them in a concentration camp. And the United States would not have the ability to say no. It's that simple.
That's right. And, you know, if you want to call your congressmen, especially your senators, that they must have a vote. We cannot have this sneaked into our country without a vote. Ann Vandersteel said possibly it could bypass the Senate. We can't have it. So you must make your voices heard to your senators. And here is the toll-free number to Congress. Get a pen if you don't have it. It is 877-762-8762. And if you didn't get the pen in time, get one now. And we're going to repeat this, that you'll want to call, and when you get the automated information, you'll be routed to your senator if you say who it is. And that, again, is 877-762-8762. Now, the rest of the article says that ultimately, you see, these amendments are delegating the WHO total authority over emergency operations in the U.S. during a public health emergency. There it is.
That's it, exactly.
Total authority. It didn't say limited, did it?
No, it did not.
So we must really pray about this, too. And Lou, I'm going to ask you right now to lead every person who is listening to our voices here in Shortwave. Pray to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his Father, Almighty God, to foil this.
So let's all pray together. Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that this insidious treaty will not be approved. And we pray that Biden cannot circumvent the Constitution and try to put it into effect without the vote of the Senate. All treaties are supposed to be approved by the two-thirds vote of the Senate. So we pray that any attempt to do this will be defeated. In fact, we pray worldwide any attempt to put this treaty in will be defeated. It would, in essence, destroy any sovereignty of our nation, at least in the matter of health, which is a very, very important matter. So we pray for your help with this, Lord, and we put our trust in you and in Jesus Christ our Lord.
And may I add a little bit?
Yes, go.
Almighty God, we know we don't deserve to have this mercy. There is so much sin around us, and each of us is a sinner. But we do plead the way you helped the people at Nineveh. They did repent, and we know you want us to repent. So we do ask you to have mercy. We plead for it. And, Blue, go ahead.
So we just ask your help, O Lord, and put our trust in you and in your Son, Jesus. Amen.
And now we move next to you, Lou.
Biden administration's amendments, along with amendments submitted from several other countries, will be combined to create the new global pandemic treaty that would subject its member states to the authority of the international organization. And now you see, this is a little interjecting. Notice that phrase, it would subject its member states, that would be us, to the authority of the international organization.
No wonder the Japanese thinking people were up in arms. We need to be too.
That's right. Going on, Spectrum News reported, at a hearing of the treaty February the 5th, Representative Brad Weinstrup, Republican of Ohio, who chairs the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, spoke against the treaty. He said it demands too much of its funding from the U.S. and may require U.S. companies to share their proprietary vaccine or treatment formulas with other countries in future pandemics. Weinstrup said, quote, "We must ensure that final draft does not violate international sovereignty or infringe upon the rights of the American people or the intellectual property of the United States," unquote. Weinstrup said the WHO is not a responsible steward of an international pandemic response program, underscoring a growing Republican mistrust of international organizations. The treaty has two potential paths forward. The Senate can approve it by a two-thirds majority vote, or the President can unilaterally approve it in a maneuver known as an executive agreement. If ratified, which I presume means by the Senate, the treaty would have the force of law.
Do you think, Lou, interjecting there, that means that even if Biden tries to bypass it, it still must be ratified by Congress or not?
No, but it would not have the full force of a treaty.
But it would could go into effect.
I believe so. Now, only a constitutional lawyer could answer that question.
But it sounded as though Ann Vandersteel was leaning in that direction, that it could be bypassed. Go ahead with the article.
And it concludes, the WHO is aiming to finalize the treaty by May, when all member states will meet in Geneva for the annual World Health Assembly. A large amount of work remains, with 300 proposed amendments to consider before publishing a final draft.
And next, Lou, we move to the People's Voice, and we know that the voices of all dissidents are trying to silence them. And so one of the biggest persons, of course, is Alex Jones. So we have April 12th, Congress set to investigate FBI/CIA setup of Alex Jones. GOP lawmakers have vowed to launch an official investigation into the CIA and FBI sabotage of InfoWars host Alex Jones's businesses. On Wednesday, Representative Troy Nels told Benny Johnson that Jones should fight back against being targeted by the Department of Justice's weaponization of the justice system, as admitted by a CIA contractor in a recent undercover expose. Neal's appearance with Johnson comes on the heels of another interview with Representative Paulina Luna, Republican of Florida, who confirmed members of Congress are also being spied on by U.S. intelligence agencies under orders to treat conservatives as, quote, domestic terrorists. The legislators' warnings follow similar alerts by other GOP lawmakers, including Senator Mike Lee, Utah, and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia, who warned a reauthorization of the FISA Act could imperil U.S. citizens' privacy rights. Quote, "This isn't national security. This isn't law enforcement. This is fascism," Lee said. Quote, "Yet another reason why we'd be crazy to reauthorize FISA 702 without a warrant requirement," he added, referring to Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that Congress is currently debating whether to reauthorize. And we interrupt to comment that still here is all the poisonous detritus from the Patriot Act years, the years that I talked about in my first book, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, the FISA Act and that Section 702, all of these totalitarian additions to our country that never should have been there. Now, back to the article. Likewise, Representative Greene wrote, quote, "Alex Jones and many others have been the target of the deep state for many years. Congress cannot pass FISA authorization without strong warrant requirements. We have to end this."
And our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos, remains very relevant. Sad to say, with the tragic COVID vax effects in Greece. This is from the People's Voice. Population collapse looming in Greece as sudden deaths soar and fertility hits record low. April 13th, 2024. Vax Dimitri. Greece is predicted to become the first nation to suffer population collapse as sudden and unexpected deaths continue soaring across the nation, while fertility rates have plunged to levels lower than experts previously thought possible. Heart failure, that is heart failure, strokes, blood clots, and rapid onset cancers, among otherwise healthy young people, have caused the mortality rates to skyrocket in Greece. While the fertility levels in young males and females are causing the birth rate to fall through the floor, recording the lowest number of births in almost a century, the prospect of population collapse in Greece is a ticking time bomb and a national threat, according to Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis. Population collapse, also known as depopulation, refers to the phenomenon of a sudden and irreversible decline in the number of living people in a society. Now Greece, the cradle of Western civilization, is on track to become the first nation to become victim to the multi-pronged depopulation agenda of the global elite. Here we have a quote. "This is one of the most serious problems we face, not only in Greece, but in the EU as a whole," Finance Minister Kostas Katsidakis told Reuters, referring to the rapidly declining population in his country. He said, "It is our priority, whatever it takes." However, the Greek government has not made any reference to the deadly effects of the COVID mRNA vaccination rollout in 2021, despite sudden and unexpected death statistics skyrocketing in perfect synchronization with the rollout. The following data was retrieved by our friends at News Addicts from Our World Data on April 10th, 2024. And you can see there apparently some sort of graphics at their website. As you can see, the death rate in Greece has been falling steadily year on year for decades until something changed in 2021. The COVID mRNA vaccine rollout began in Greece in late December 2020. At least 72.6% of total population are double vaccinated, according to the most recent statistics released by the government. While experts warn Greece's population may never recover, the mainstream media has begun celebrating depopulation.
And Lou, we must interrupt to say that when we were going through some of our older papers last night, I came upon a statistic that we heard on a talk show, and it was about, in America, I believe, and it was young women with breast cancer, age 45 and under. And so they were giving the stats there in 2020. I think 2019 it might have started, and it was about the same number both of those years. And then I think actually in 2020 it went down a little. Then in 2021 it increased quite a bit. But by 2022, it had gone, I'm not sure of the first number, but it was something like 700 or something like that. But then in 2021, it got higher. But in 2022, it was over 200,000 women. And you figured out mathematically that it was 1,100% increase in 1 year.
Yes, and any statistician will tell you that that is a hugely significant change. That is not to be just...
That is the indicting finger, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't write that off as just, you know,
probability. You can't say that statistics lie.
That's right.
No, because that's just too big.
Not that kind of statistic.
No. So we're still talking about the need for people to have our book. I think God wants you to get our book. After all, we have sacrificially made it available when we could have made some thousands of dollars by selling it. That's not what God wanted. He wants the truth to get out. He wants the little children of the future to be protected. Don't you care about your families, your friends, those you know? Please request our book. Write to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, P.O. Box 28. The zip code is 21609. Now, what else about Greece?
Well, it says, the COVID mRNA vaccine, I might be repeating it, but it's worth repeating. The COVID mRNA vaccine rollout began in Greece in late December 2020. At least 72.6% of total population are double vaccinated, according to the most recent stats released by the government. While experts warn Greece's population may never recover, the mainstream media has begun celebrating depopulation. According to Scientific American, quote, declining populations will ease the pressure 8 billion people put on the planet, where our current model of endless growth and short-term profits sacrifices vulnerable people and the planet's future, population decline could help create a future with more opportunity and a healthy, biologically rich world, unquote. According to the UN, the continent of Africa is the only region with a growing population. The rest of the world has been hit by a, quote, fertility crisis, unquote, that Bloomberg claims nobody saw coming. Except we, and this is the People's Voice speaking there, we have been warning the world for years that the global elite are intent on depopulating the world, and reducing fertility levels is a key plank in their agenda. Bill Gates and other globalist billionaires have been pushing products that knowingly destroy fertility levels and reproducing age young adults. Many of these products are household name items promoted on mainstream media and considered perfectly safe by the average consumer.
And Lou, things are not so great for retirees in Belgium. LifeSite News, this was April 12th. President of Belgian Health Insurance Company promotes euthanasia as solution for aging population. And here again, our program title about awful April, we're really getting into the horror aspects now. Luc Van Gorp, president of Christian Mutuality, pushed suicide. Oh, Lou, did you hear the name? President of Christian Mutuality. Push suicide for older people who are, quote, tired of life, and shockingly describe the elderly as a, quote, mountain of meat that, oh, I can't even say this, that starts to smell. Oh, Luke, you'd better repent. Oh, my. I hadn't looked that over before I read that. That was an awful shock.
Yeah.
This was written by Andreas Welzer. The president of Belgium's largest health care fund has promoted euthanasia as a solution for the country's aging population problem. Luc Van Gorp, head of Christian Mutuality, CM, pointed out that the number of people over 80 in Belgium will double, up to 1.2 million by 2050, putting large financial pressure on the health care system and insurance companies. According to the specialist, Van Gorp, said the problem cannot be solved with more money and called for, quote, a radically different approach, end of quote. Quote, doctors and other health professionals are now doing their utmost to make everyone live longer, but for what purpose? Living longer is not an end in itself, is it? It must first of all be about the question, how long can I live with quality of life? What about the category of older people who receive maximum care but who still do not have the quality of life they want? That question is asked far too little, he stated. Van Gorp said that in addition to the current euthanasia law, there, quote, should also be a softer form for people who feel that their lives are complete, adding that many elderly people are tired of life.
Instead of calling the process suicide, which has negative connotations, he, quote, would rather call it giving life back, unquote. And this is Lou. Give it back to who? That's my question. But going on, we have a continuation of that quote. I know it is sensitive, but we really have to dare to have that debate, unquote. Van Gorp further asserted that the cost of caring for people, human beings whose lives have intrinsic God-given value, regardless of their suffering, towards the end of their life may not be worthwhile, citing expensive medication for cancer patients. And it says you can also read an article, terminally ill children in Netherlands can now be euthanized against their will. Back to this article, and it's telling
Will you tell that to me again? Who could be euthanized against their will in the Netherlands?
Terminally ill children.
Terminally ill children. Oh.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
In a telling remark, the executive used the metaphor of a mountain of meat, that's in quotes, a mountain of meat that begins to smell to describe elderly citizens. And this is a continuation of the quote. I sometimes compare the aging people with a mountain of meat, he said. That mountain first ends up in health care. Doctors and hospitals get to work on this and make good money from it. But as soon as that meat starts to smell, they pass it on to elderly care. But aging is not only the responsibility of the people who work in elderly care, unquote. While several left-wing and liberal politicians are sympathetic to Van Gorp's ideas, according to VRT NWS, Christian Democrat leader Sammy Marty opposed the plan, saying, quote, if someone is tired of life and feels like they are standing in the way and no longer getting visitors, then we are failing as a society, unquote. Van Gorp reiterated his ideas in an interview with the newspaper Der Morgen, in which he stated, the demand for care will only increase in the coming years. If we just keep doing the way we are doing today, we are going for an outright care crash. We can only prevent this if we choose a radically different approach, from a healthy society that puts quality of life first instead of quantity. And he continues saying, numerous healthcare providers have long indicated that it cannot continue in this way. There are simply not enough professional hands left to provide all care. And as a society, we create too little space to take care of those who are most dear to us. Unquote. In 2002, Belgium was the second country in the post-World War II era that legalized euthanasia. In 2014, it became the first country to abolish the age restriction on use of euthanasia. It currently allows euthanasia for minors who suffer from a supposedly terminal disease, allegedly close to death, or suffer from chronic pain and have the consent of parents and doctors. In 2018, a government report revealed that three minors received lethal injections between 2016 and 2017. The number of legal yearly euthanasia cases has been steadily on the rise since the legalization in 2002, reaching almost 3,000 cases in 2022.
It's a slippery slope.
Yes.
You know, I once wrote to the editor of Good Housekeeping because there had been an assisted euthanasia type article there, really puffing it up, promoting it. A family relative wanted it for her, a close relative. And I haven't seen too much since that time I wrote and complained, because it was a good editor, and I think that's a Hearst magazine. So we don't want this. We still have more Christian traditions in America than in Europe. Europe was the first area of the world to really shut down the churches, and the people became atheistic and became non-Christian, and we see that they have had the first takedown with radical Islam, too. So we are appealing to all of you. We know that this is a slippery slope, and it's come to Oregon. We're not free of it completely, but thank God we're not completely into that degree to be killing these small children. But here we are. We go now to the Netherlands, and there, too, the Jack Kevorkian-type killing cycle has been going on. These refinements are being made, you see, so that we can now kill for far subtler reasons, we should say. And this is the new MO. Dutch government to euthanize healthy 28-year-old due to bout of melancholy. April 4th, this was the People's Voice, a healthy 28-year-old Dutch woman has been scheduled to be euthanized by the government due to her struggles with mild depression, according to a disturbing report. Zaria Ter Beek is scheduled to be killed by the Dutch government in May, despite being in love with her 40-year-old boyfriend and living with two cats. NYPost.com reports Ter Beek, who once aspired to be a psychiatrist, has been dealing with mental health struggles throughout her life. She said she decided to be euthanized after her doctors told her, "There's nothing more we can do for you. It's never going to get any better," according to the Free Press. "I was always very clear that it doesn't get better. I can't do this anymore," Ter Beek said. She is just one of the growing number of people in the West who've decided to die rather than continue living in pain that, unlike a terminal illness, could be treated. More people are deciding to end their lives while suffering from a slew of other mental health problems like depression or anxiety, amplified by economic uncertainty, climate change. Oh, there's a humorous little one for you, Lou.
Yes,
climate change. Yes, that's absurd.
Yeah.
Social media, another issue. That's absurd, too, about social media. The Free Press reported, quote, "I'm seeing euthanasia as some sort of acceptable option brought to the table by physicians, by psychiatrists, when previously it was the ultimate last resort." Steph Greenwood, a healthcare ethicist at Theological University Kampen in the Netherlands, told the outlet, quote, "I see the phenomenon, especially in people with psychiatric diseases, and especially young people with psychiatric disorders, where the healthcare professional seems to give up on them more easily than before," she added.
Ter Beek plans to be cremated after she's euthanized on the couch in her living room. "No music," she said. "A doctor will first give her a sedative, followed by a drug that will stop her heart. Her boyfriend will be at her side until the end." Quote, "The doctor really takes her time. It is not that they walk in and say, 'Lay down, please.' Most of the time, it is first a cup of coffee to settle the nerves and create a soft atmosphere," she said. Then she asks if I am ready. I will take my place on the couch. She will once again ask if I am sure. And she will start a procedure and wish me a good journey. Or in my case, a nice nap, because I hate it if people say, 'Safe journey.' I'm not going anywhere," unquote. "There will not be a funeral." Ter Beek, who does not have much family, said her boyfriend will scatter her ashes, quote, "in a nice spot in the woods," unquote.
Lou, we have to talk about this a little bit.
Yes.
You know, in our human misconceptions that we know everything, when she says, "I'm not going anywhere," how does she know where she's going to go? You know, no person living can reputably tell us exactly what happens when we die, when we go to heaven or when we go to hell. Nobody has been able to really report back exactly what happened. And I told you that through my long years of suffering physically, especially the 18 months of Lyme disease, I would never consider suicide, because I have always had a warning, guarding fear that what if I got trapped in some kind of a strange dimension and I would never be able to leave it? You know, we really have some of these things built into us by Almighty God because our lives were given to us by Him. He knew us in our mother's womb. He had plans for us. And you see, if I had committed suicide, which I never would do, but if I had committed suicide there in 1993, 1994, in those 18 months, I wouldn't be on the radio. I wouldn't be enjoying you here with me, Lou, just rejoicing that your surgery in January went well, rejoicing that we have these friendships with our wonderful Christian listeners who do value the truth, who do stand up against evil without compromise. I would have missed all that. No, it's so sad. And we really can never condone these organizations, these doctors, these psychiatrists, these people who are in Satan's killing agenda. Go ahead, Lou.
And the young lady, Tebex, says, I'm a little afraid of dying because it's the ultimate unknown.
That just backs up what we said.
Exactly. She says, we don't really know what's next. Or is there nothing? That's the scary part, unquote. The Netherlands became the first country in the world to make assisted suicide legal in 2001. Since then, it's become an increasingly popular option. In 2022, there were 8,720 euthanasia deaths in the Netherlands, representing roughly 5% of all the country's deaths, and up from 4% from the year before.
Now, how shocking is that? Out of all kinds of deaths, 5% of them are due to this euthanasia. Is that significant?
Well, that's one out of every 20. I think that's pretty significant.
Oh, I think so, too. And you know, when we were talking earlier there, I do have total Christian faith that I will go to heaven because Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. And there are some experiences I've had that not every listener would agree. They would say, oh, this is demonic, whatever, things that are happening. But I do not believe that. My wonderful Christian father, who exemplifies Jesus, shining out of him, didn't he?
You know him. Absolutely, yes, I know him well.
There were some things that happened after his death that indicate he lived. He lived with Jesus Christ after death. And I will not get into that right now, but believe me, it has strengthened me. And if any of you out there are not sure, you must really pray that Jesus will make you his, that you will see that he is real. You know, God has used the symbols of cardinals all through our lives. At first in my life, before I knew you, Lou, but they're beautiful messengers from God at times. And you know, I was talking to my ex-sister-in-law. She called to wish me happy birthday. My birthday was on Earth Day, April 22nd. And as we were talking, she said, oh, outside my window, there, Elizabeth, there's a cardinal, a beautiful cardinal near the window, and I haven't seen any since I've been back from California. She's in western Pennsylvania. We knew, and she knew. She said, that's God wishing you a happy birthday. You see, I was worth something to him. Even during that terrible time when I was a crippled invalid who could barely walk with a walker, could only sit on one chair, and I was a relatively young person then, too. What if I had said to you, Lou, I've had enough. Let's connect with the euthanasia people.
That would have been a horrific thing. Just, I don't even know what the words would be.
You don't even like to think about it, do you?
No, I don't.
No, we must stand against these Luciferian death cabals. That's what we must do. Finish that article.
In February, the 93-year-old former Dutch Prime Minister, Dries Van Agt, and his wife died hand-in-hand by euthanasia.
Mm.
Critics of suicide legalization say that people like Terbeck have been encouraged to kill themselves by the law, with many likening the suicide surge to a contagion, according to the Free Press. Terbeck blasted the Free Press article on Twitter Tuesday and announced that she would be leaving social media ahead of her death. She posted, quote, it was an honor for me to provide insights to people who are open to learning something. Again, she posted.
And then we have LifeSite News weighing in on this topic. Jonathan Van Maren, and this was April 3rd, Euthanasia advocates are abandoning compassion to embrace cold-blooded pragmatism. The culture has thrown away the young through abortion and contraception, and so it stands to reason that discarding the old is sure to follow. The legalization of assisted suicide and euthanasia have come at a predictable time. After decades of legal abortion and contraceptive use, not a single Western country has a birth rate remotely close to population replacement level. Increasingly, aging populations are putting enormous pressure on healthcare systems with fewer taxpayers to support them. The strategy of importing immigrants from other cultures to make up for the babies Westerners have avoided through contraception or killed by abortion comes with its own manifest problems. It isn't just population implosion. Rates of mental illness, social atomization, loneliness, and anxiety have never been higher. Legal euthanasia essentially serves as a pressure valve, a cynical way of addressing the problems we have created with the sexual revolution that we are unwilling or unable to solve. As Ross Douhat noted in a 2022 New York Times column on Canada's euthanasia regime, we are discovering what it means when a, quote, society remains liberal but ceases to be civilized. I think we should repeat that. Society remains liberal but ceases to be civilized. In the cavalcade of Canadian horror stories, he observed, we, quote, see the dark ways euthanasia interacts with other late modern problems, the isolation imposed by family breakdown, the spread of chronic illness and depression, the pressure on aging, low birth rate societies to cut their health care costs. Indeed, Canada, the UK, and elsewhere, euthanasia advocates have been open about the fact that bringing in assisted suicide comes with critical cost savings. As one 2017 CBC report delicately put it, quote, medically assisted deaths could save millions in health care spending, end of quote. Critics of legal euthanasia have long cited the fact that medical assistance in dying swiftly morphs from a choice to an obligation. Every euthanasia regime delineates who is eligible for this, quote, right, and who is not, indicating to the sick and the suffering that the state views their lives as not worth living, and that thus they have been granted the autonomy to acquire a state-sanctioned, funded, and facilitated suicide. Ashley Frawley worries in a recent Unheard column, and that's spelled, listeners, capital UNHERD. Now, we get the meaning there, Lou, don't we? We've heard of herd immunity. In other words, that's the big excuse to vaccinate everybody, because after enough people are vaccinated, then the disease will die out. So, you see, we're just part of a group. We're just animals. We're in a herd, or we're in a flock. Or we're in a coven if we're part of the leftist death cult to euthanize people. So at any rate, this herd, unheard, UNHERD column said this, assisted dying advocates are losing their compassion. Indeed, both euthanasia and abortion have been sold to the public under the cloak of compassion. A darker agenda lurked just beneath the surface for anyone willing to peer past the slogans.
Frawley was responding to a recent column in The Times by Matthew Paris, a former politician and homosexual activist. Paris's column is unique in that he is willing to say, in writing, what suicide activists deny that they've been saying in private. The title and subheading sum it up. Quote, we can't afford a taboo on assisted dying. The argument against it is that pressure will grow in the terminally ill to hasten their own deaths. That's not a bad thing, unquote. In short, critics of euthanasia regimes have been pointing out that people are being pushed into legal injections. Paris responds by saying that this is a good thing, actually, and then defends it with a cold-blooded pragmatism of someone who knows that there isn't enough to go around. Let's acknowledge and confront, and I believe these are his words, let us acknowledge and confront the strongest argument against assisted dying. As objectives say, the practice spreads, social and cultural pressure will grow on the terminally ill to hasten their own deaths, so as not to be a burden on others or themselves. I believe this will indeed come to pass, and I would welcome it. I don't dispute the objector's belief that once assisted dying becomes normalized, we'll become more apt to ask ourselves for how much longer we can justify the struggle. Is life still giving us more pleasure than pain? How much is all this costing relatives and the health service? How much of a burden are we placing on those who love us? How much of a burden are we placing upon ourselves? We will notice others asking themselves these questions and will feel empowered by changing social norms to ask them ourselves.
We must interrupt there.
Yes.
This is a very clever kind of imposition of guilt on people because these other people do not have Christian values that see people as gifts from God created in His own image. The value of life itself, anybody's life, you know, it is a lot of hubris for people to do things like Kevorkian did.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I can't think of her name right now. You and I know a person that said, Terry Schindler Schiavo, that's the person, and it was a big, major case for a long time whether she should live. And she was basically, I think, starved and had no water. And a friend of ours who has some handicaps said, couldn't they have at least put some drops of water on her face? Now, some people would say that friend of ours should have been euthanized because perhaps she had some handicaps. But God saw the great wisdom that our friend had. Even through her own handicaps, she had a great wisdom that she saw that the humanity was more important, the kindness, the goodness, the love of Jesus Christ. Let's put some drops of water on poor Terry Schindler Schiavo's face that she isn't just tortured to death. You see, we are living in a hell, and it's been coming for some years, hasn't it? Let's go ahead with that. But we aren't going to be made guilty. No, our lives have worth, even if we're suffering. Even as we get older, even if we're crippled, even if we need help, that should bring out the best in our relatives. We need not feel guilty because God said we're to help each other.
Yes, now it goes on. And this, now we switch back to the author of the article instead of this gentleman advocating euthanasia.
And he isn't a gentleman either.
No, that's true. In his first few paragraphs, Paris dismisses religious concerns about suicide out of hand and moves swiftly and smoothly to utilitarianism. Speeding up Granny's conveyor belt is a feature, not a bug. The sick and the vulnerable should consider not just their own pain, but whether or not they become an inconvenient pain, and should consider accessing the freshly minted human right to suicide by doctor.
Now, is this second person advocating it, too?
No, he's
talking about the first person.
Yes, he's referring to the first person.
Okay.
And let's see if I can skip down. I know we're running out of time.
Yes, so you may want to come quickly to the author of the article's viewpoint and sum it up quickly.
Yes. In the absence of the Christian worldview, you cannot have a Christian society. Our culture is changing its mind about the worth of old age because our culture has abandoned religion that gave rise to human rights. We have purchased our autonomy at the price of millions of aborted children. I think we'll leave it right there.
And we have lost our souls.
Yes.
Good night.